I'd like to shift our discussion towards some practical issues in terms of management in the adjuvant and metastatic setting. First, can you sort of briefly go through your algorithm for adjuvant therapy for stage 2 and stage 3 disease in a non-protocol situation?
For stage 3 disease, the two approaches which I think are currently well supported are the adjuvant use of FOLFOX or for patients who are not candidates for oxaliplatin, capecitabine alone. It is a logical interpolation to use capecitabine and oxaliplatin instead of FOLFOX, given the activity of capecitabine alone. However, that is an extrapolation which has not yet been validated. In the adjuvant setting where there's potential curative intent, I'm a little bit more reluctant to treat patients off of a standard, well-proven algorithm. That is, I usually use FOLFOX for most robust patients. And since FOLFOX is tolerated fairly well for most patients, we usually start with this even in those who are older, unless there's a clear contraindication to oxaliplatin, such as a significant pre-existing neuropathy. For stage 2 patients, the discussion gets much more complicated because it's not clear that there is any standard therapy for that group. Whether or not there is a benefit has been suggested but has not yet been proven. Now, for those patients, the risk-benefit discussion often can take a considerable amount of time to put it in a frame of reference that's meaningful for the patient. For example, if the risk reduction in a stage 2 patient may be an absolute difference of 1 or 2%, and we're not sure whether or not that 1 or 2% exists, it could be 3 to 4, but it's not likely to be more than 5% absolute difference. If it's only a few percent, what is the meaning of that to any given patient where they would have to go through 6 months of adjuvant therapy and the doctor cannot say positively whether or not there is any added benefit? Most oncologists would probably recommend not giving adjuvant therapy for patients who are truly stage 2. I think there can be room for discussion with the patient about whether or not a few percent difference in overall survival is worth the 6 months of therapy for them, and I usually have that long discussion with them and then take their lead on how they prioritize the risk-benefit for their individual setting. The one thing which needs to be remembered in the discussion about stage 2 versus stage 3 is adequacy of lymph node sampling. We know the data fairly well for those who are properly stage 2 or stage 3. Those who are stage ambiguous, that is, with less than 11 lymph nodes, their prognosis actually sits between true stage 2 and true stage 3. While we don't know for sure that treatment will have similar benefit in that population, it's a fairly reasonable inference. Therefore, for patients who have inadequate lymph node staging, usually the discussion about the benefits of adjuvant therapy is probably a little bit more favorable than in those who are true stage 2.